time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Holly from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 138 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens.
More chickens. We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton. But most importantly,
we hug chickens every day.
And we kiss them too. Don't forget, we brew coffee from a little coffee house in historic Gettysburg, PA. Bantam Coffee Roasters. Holly Ann, what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
Oh, today's is amazing. It's Nicaraguan. It has notes of milk chocolate, butternut, and orange.
So refreshing for the summer.
So good.
It's so good. And you too can drink Bantam Coffee Roasters. Where can they find it?
BantamRoasters.com.
And follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Are you ready to sip some coffee and chat?
I am. But first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. This month, you can receive 30% off if you're a first-time buyer.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats.
Orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein. It's perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
This offer does not apply to subscriptions and cannot be combined with any other discounts.
It's a great time to try Grubly Farms if you haven't yet. Use the code CWTCL30 for 30% off your first purchase. Try it today. Okay, so how are you doing? It's hot.
It's hot. We've had to abandon the idea of integrating Rambo with the Nankins.
I know.
It's a no-go.
It's kind of been sad.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks a little too different for them.
Apparently, I think it's the feathery legs and the beard.
Because when you put the other boys in, there was no issue.
I mean, that was literally the quickest and easiest integration I've ever had. They were like, you look just like me, you're fine.
Yeah. They're like, hey, yeah, I think I saw you yesterday.
Right. So they're fine.
Meanwhile, Rambo, they're like, wait a minute, you brought your mini machine gun in here? No.
They're like, no, dude, no, I'm sorry. With your beard, you can't be in here.
And your beard, spots. Your feathers on your feet, everything, you look way too different.
So I was building a broody coop and got off of that. But we're going to rebuild it for Rambo. And it just remains to be seen where it's going to go and whether or not he's going to have some ladies. We thought about trying to put him in with Hideo, one of the Australorp roosters, the really sweet one.
But if that went bad, that could go really bad. Because there really are bad. Opposite sizes.
Yes. Hideo's massive.
Yes.
He's massive. He's a big, big rooster.
I mean, if it went bad, it would go bad.
So the other possibility is that we'll section off. Casper and Honeysuckle are in a huge run.
Yeah.
For just the two of them. And we could section off the bottom of that.
Yeah.
And give it to Rambo and a couple girls. So.
Yeah. And he could go in by himself at first because he would have them as company.
Right. He'd be seeing them. Yes. And actually, he could see George and the girls too.
Yeah. So, I mean.
He'd be like, ladies.
Yeah. But he would just have his own space.
Yes.
And he would be like, yeah, I like this. Great.
You know, if you're going to do some rescuing, you've got to have some possibilities built in there.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be able to quarantine. You need to be able to move them if things don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's the same thing I'm dealing with over here with, you know, reintegration of ones who were sick at some point mm-hmm. and you kept them out a little too long. I am famous for that. I keep them out too long because I'm like, oh, they're not perfect yet. And then all of a sudden, the other chickens are like, yeah, you're not coming back in here.
I don't even bother to tell you put those chickens back because you're going to put them back when you're good and ready.
And it's like, yeah, I hate you all over again. I'm going to try to kill you 16 times. So it's a slow integration and
sparring through the fence.
That's where we are now. We're trying to, you know, let them see each other. They've been seeing each other every day for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just when I'm going to pull the trigger and go in and put them in together.
Right.
And be there to referee for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Summer fun, right?
Summer fun.
I don't know.
Don't do what we did.
No.
Have to have weird integrations, like, right? No big, weird, stressful integrations during the heat of summer.
No, it's never fun. Okay, so if you're listening to the show and you're loving it, head on over to Apple Podcast and leave us a written review. It does amazing things for the growth of our show. And while you're there, hit that subscribe button. It's another quick and easy way to help us grow, and you never miss an episode.
If you're looking for other ways to support the podcast, you can share your favorite episodes on social media. You can tell a chicken-loving friend or 10 about the podcast. You can check out our Etsy shop. We have some new merchandise up. We have new tank tops.
Tank tops for the summer.
Mm-hmm,
for when you're out there taking care of your chickens.
Really pretty. You can become a patron of the show, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Check out our levels of membership there. And the other thing you can do to help support the podcast is visit our website, visit our show notes, use our affiliate links and discount codes, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the February box, I absolutely love the red iron rooster trivet and the seed block.
I really love that egg timer. It's going to be great when I'm baking. And those chicken stickers are going to be awesome on notes I send out.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order, and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
Have you heard of Strong Animals Chicken Essentials? They make natural supplements for your flock.
Strong Animals has used plant-based products and natural approaches to promote the health and vitality of backyard flocks. Their products contain organic essential oils, prebiotics, and other natural ingredients to support the immune system and digestive health. Give your chicks and chickens what they need to thrive with Strong Animals health products. Visit GetStrongAnimals.com today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality, rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock. Request a free catalog today. Time for Breed Spotlight, yeah.
And you're playing a flute, but what are you playing on the flute? She's flouting.
I don't know.
She's flouting.
Okay, so this
air
week's
flout.
Air flute.
Air flute.
It was an air flute.
It was an air flute. Okay.
So this week's Breed Spotlight is
the Barnevelder. I'm not sure. I don't get the connection, but that's
there's
okay.
No connection. I just you wanted to play air flute. Flute.
Okay. You guys, well, the Barnevelder is one of the most perfect chickens in existence.
They're
the,
so pretty.
The end. They are.
This is gorgeous. A chicken we would recommend everyone have in their flock.
Absolutely. They're gorgeous. They have brown and black laced feathers. They are both sweet and smart. They're very good layers of very pretty eggs, great additions to a mixed flock, good showbirds, and wonderful with kids.
And everyone.
Everyone, yeah. They are perfect for beginning chicken keepers. They have plenty to offer the experienced as well. In short, we are in love with these birds.
Yes, they're really great birds.
They really are.
You have two, I have one, and
I picked yours out.
We love them.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Truffle, she is one of the sweetest birds I've ever had.
And so pretty. The Barnevelder is a fairly modern Dutch breed. They were developed in the Barneveld region of the Netherlands.
Hence where the name comes from.
That's right. In the late 1800s, there were Dutch farmers that began breeding the Asiatics, so your Cochins, Brahmas, and Langshans, into their local country hens.
Right.
Because the Asiatics were going everywhere. So a lot of people were trying to beef up, so to speak.
Because they're the big, beautiful birds that everybody wanted. So they were like, hey, give me some of those.
Well, they may also have been trying to increase carcass size. You know, make them more of a dual-purpose
bird.
Right. They may have been trying to create showbirds. It's possible. Or they may have just been experimenting, because sometimes people just do that. They had these neat new Asiatic chickens, right? So they wanted to see what would happen when they bred them into the local breeds.
And it was a good thing.
This experiment went well. So I've seen several sources claim that the reason the farmers started breeding with the Asiatics was to create a darker egg.
Everyone, even back then, wanted rainbow eggs.
The problem with this theory is that both Cochins and Brahmas lay a lighter colored brown egg.
They do.
Now, the Langshan has been known to lay darker plum colored eggs. It's a combination of a dark brown egg and a bloom.
Right.
And so it's this really pretty plum color. I think it stands to reason that the Langshan must have been one of the foundation breeds, if that's what they were really going for. In fact, One of my barn of elder hens was laying an egg with a plum bloom when she first started.
I remember that.
And I don't know which one it was. I think it was Muffin.
Or Cupcake.
So the egg color makes them a possible alternative to the Morans if you want a dark brown. It's not as dark.
They can do speckled or not speckled.
Cupcakes are very speckled. They're beautiful.
And here's the thing. The Morans give you, especially, you know, the dark copper Morans, are going to give you the darkest of any egg.
Right.
But they can be flock bullies. So, yes,
among other things.
We've been really, you know, we say that a lot because it is true. They have a really strong personality. So they're hard to bring into an existing flock.
We just don't want beginners to get overwhelmed.
Right. So the barn owl does lay a darker egg. So it's a foundation breed for other chickens.
Absolutely.
Also.
Including the Welsummer.
Exactly. So it's a rainbow egg.
It is. And it's an interesting theory because that would be one of the earliest mentions we've found of farmers breeding for an egg color.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it had to be the Langshan if they were going for color.
Everybody loves some egg colors.
Absolutely.
I mean, it makes it fun.
Well, except remember back in the 20s and 30s in England when the blue layers showed up, nobody really wanted them.
No. They wanted white.
Yes. It took several generations before the barn of elder started to emerge with a standard appearance. The Dutch Poultry Club accepted the breed in 1923. They were exported to the UK in 1920, became very popular. The breeders there got right to work as well. The British Barn of Elder Club was established in 1922. Now, the UK also has a double-laced blue and a double-laced silver Barn of Elder.
So you and I looked at them, and I remember saying, we love the double-laced partridge Barn of Elder.
Well, we love the partridgey colors.
Yeah.
You know? The beautiful double-laced partridge that we love so much was accepted into the American Poultry Association Standard of Perfection in 1991.
A newer.
In the Continental class. Now, that is the same year that their cousins, the Welsummer.
Which they have a part in.
That's right. Were also accepted. There is a Bantam Barn of Elder as well.
Oh my God, I need one.
How cute is that? This breed is not at risk. It's not a threatened or endangered breed. Popular as they should be.
Yes, they should be very popular. Now, as a standard, they're a dual-purpose breed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go into our size. The roosters are coming in at 7 pounds and the hens at about 6 pounds. They're in that medium class.
And they're pretty comparable. The sexes are pretty comparable in size.
Yeah. Some of them have big ranges that they're different, the boys and the girls, and some are very close.
Yeah.
These two are very close in size. They have a medium size, like straight comb, shorter combs on the hens. And remember one of yours having a bigger comb than two of
Cupcake has a bigger comb and Muffin has a much shorter comb.
And so does Truffle. Truffle's mine and she has a shorter comb also.
Now, I'll tell you where some of that may have come from. In the UK, some folks bred dark Cornish into them.
Yeah.
And you can really see the influence of the dark Cornish on the head shape and the comb.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the wattles are moderately sized, so it helps them in, you know, the heat to try to get a little bit out. Again, they do have red faces.
But they do have a bit of more feathering around their
face. They have really cute little faces.
Yeah.
And red earlobes and those clean yellow legs that I love on a chicken.
It's a pretty contrast on them.
So there are two color varieties available in the U.S., so let's name them. The first is a double-laced partridge.
And the other is the as-yet non-APA accepted silver double laced, and that was imported by Greenfire Farms in 2016.
So that's where you're going to go to get that one.
Mm-hmm. It's a beauty too.
Okay, so the hens are good layers of the medium to dark brown truffle. Some are speckled and some aren't, and they lay around 200 eggs, so they're in that average category. Respectable.
Yeah, I think they're a tick above respectable. I think I will call them a good layer.
Yeah, and they very occasionally go broody. So we wouldn't really consider them a broody breed.
Nah, not really.
I mean, one may go broody and then...
I think that's one of the things that makes them a good beginner chicken, that you're not constantly fighting a bird in the brood box.
Now, I am not hatching my own eggs, so I love it when chickens do not go broody.
Right, right.
It can become a problem.
It can be very stressful for the bird and you. Yeah, yep.
Okay, so as we said earlier, these chickens, they have wonderful personalities.
Mm-hmm. Really, I think they are as wonderful as they are beautiful. They're just stunning. The feather patterns on them are just beautiful.
They are beautiful. They're laid back. Whenever I go into the run, Truffle is 100% of the time at my feet asking me to pick her up.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah, they really fit in well to a laid back mixed flock.
Now, they're pretty winter hardy.
Yeah, they really are. You have to watch those combs in extreme cold, especially if you have someone with a bigger comb like my Cupcake.
Right.
They're not really fond of the heat, but I would say they're generally okay as long as they have shade and other provisions.
They're really active. They're fairly active.
Yeah, they are. I think they really enjoy free ranging and foraging. I don't see my girls stop very often. They're usually on the go.
They're usually on the go. And Truffle is on the lower end of the flock order.
Right.
So she's always going. And her and Clover, as everybody knows, are besties. So I let them out with me every morning. Mm-hmm. So they're always, as soon as they're allowed out of the coop, rushing for the door to come out together.
Now, mine are in very different spots. So Cupcake is the smaller of the two, mm-hmm. and she is on the bottom end of the pecking order. Mm-hmm. She spends a lot of time with Emma, the Silver Lace Cochin, mm-hmm. and the Orpingtons. Muffin, her bestie is Pansy.
Wow.
The Swedish flower. They're always together.
Wow.
Muffin even got in a nest box with Pansy.
Wow.
I know. But they're always together. I don't know if it's because Muffin is dark and Pansy's a black-based Swedish flower.
It's crazy. I'm going to tell you how much Truffle and Clover are best friends. The other day, I'm out there, and I was on the phone with you, and you hear it constantly, so you don't even, like, stop talking. I'm like, Gertie, no. Screaming at Gertie. So Clover's doing her run with her wings out as she uses them for breaks.
Right.
Okay, in circles. And then Gertie just goes over to her and just bops her on the head in mid-run to stop her. Gertie. And she falls on her side.
Bad Gertie.
And Truffle just stepped right in the middle of Gertie and Clover.
Aww.
And just was like, no, Gertie.
Stop, Gertie.
This is my bestie. Don't do this.
Aww.
So they just are sweethearts of chickens. There's not a bad thing to say. Not one bad thing.
This is the only thing. And some people consider this a con. We do not. And it's funny, though. They are chatty.
I love chatty chickens.
I do, too. But I've read in a couple of places, like articles about them, other people writing sort of a breed spotlight have said that they're quiet. Ain't nothing quiet about these chickens.
No.
These are talky, talky girls.
Yeah, they're like salmon faverolles. So they're always talking. And I mean, I own a cup that says, yes, my sister-in-law bought me. Yes, I talk to chickens because I do. And I love it when they talk back.
Who doesn't talk to chickens?
So, you know, I love it when they talk, they're expressive, they look at you. It creates more of a bond between you and your flock chickens.
It's communicating.
Yes, it's awesome. Okay, so the standard double lace partridge Barnevelder is available from most hatcheries.
Yeah, you can find them in farm supply stores now. You can find them online pretty much anywhere. They are not a rare breed. I think, yeah, our local, The Mill, definitely had them this spring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're was a Barnevelder Club of North America website that had some really good articles on it,
mm-hmm.
but they must have lost the domain because there's some other kind of weird chicken content on there now.
Oh, man.
They do have a presence on Facebook, though, and you can find breeders there, so all is not lost. This bird, I mean, top 10 for everything, I think, the Barnevelder.
They are one to have in your flock, that's for sure.
They go very well with the Asiatics, with the English class, with other laid-back continentals like the salmon faverolles,
mm-hmm.
the Houdans, the Polish, all of them.
Like I said, Truffle's best friend is a salmon faverolles clover.
That's right.
That's a special needs chicken with neurological problems. So that should tell you something right there.
About that personality.
Yeah.
They're wonderful chickens.
So this brings us to, if you have a Barnevelder, please share a story and mention us with pictures of your babies. We want to see them. We want to give you a story. We love these chickens and we want to see pictures of them. So you can DM us pictures, you can add a story and then mention us and we'll get it there also. So please share. Can't wait to see them.
If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera.
Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill.
Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories.
Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it.
Quick shipping from Nestera.us.
For a 5% discount, use the affiliate link in our show notes, on our website, and on Instagram. Link in bio. Check them out today. Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies.
We personally use Roosty's products with our chickens, and we're huge fans.
They have their awesome nesting pads, do-it-yourself feeder and waterer kits, and they've just released their best product ever, a new chick feeder and waterer set.
They have adjustable legs to keep food and water clean. They're super well-made, and the feeder even has a removable lid so it can easily be filled from the top.
So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, all their products are available for prime delivery on Amazon.com.
Check out the Roosty store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes.
Okay, so are we all ready for main topic? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this week's main topic is one that we both have a lot of experience with.
Way too much.
Way too much. We don't want the experience with, but we have it. And we feel like we need to do some added extra instructions for you guys because it's necessary. So we're talking crop impaction. We're talking you get the surgery done and then the aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a whole separate entity than just the crop impaction itself.
Exactly. Now, for those of you who are brand new to chickens, a chicken's crop is a pouch that's actually part of her esophagus.
It's, think of it like the stomach, but on the outside.
Right. It's like an exterior stomach where the chicken's food sits soon after they eat it. And so if you're looking at your hand, you will see what sometimes looks like a softball sized shape on her.
Under her throat in the chest area, higher chest area. And it's sometimes called the food boob.
Food boob. I mean, once you see your chicken with a really full crop, you will understand food boob.
And if you start with chicks, we've actually gotten some questions of people who were very concerned about what it was because they don't know.
They're like, my chick has got a ping pong sized thing on the front of her. Yeah. Is that a tumor?
No.
It's scary if you don't know what you're looking at.
Right. And it's okay. Nobody will know until you know. So this is where the food is stored until it moves on.
Right. Eventually, the food moves to the proventriculus and then onto the gizzard for grinding. So you know when you put out grit for your chickens, it travels along with the food to the gizzard. And the gizzard's like a big, rough grinding thing.
Yeah, it just breaks everything down.
It's actually like two pieces of really hard muscle that grind together.
Yes, exactly. So the problem comes in when your chicken eats something they shouldn't or is a garbage, we call it the garbage crop. They eat a lot of high fibrous things that get stuck in there.
Yeah, get stuck and can't move. And then there can be another problem.
Yeah.
Your chicken may have a yeast or a bacterial infection or my personal favorite, both.
Known as sour crop along with an impaction.
And that can happen because of mechanical problems, like it's really fibrous, or that can happen because of some diseases that can impact crop function.
Like heavy metal, like you were dealing with.
Right. Heavy metal poisoning is a big one. Any of these things can result in a crop that cannot clear on its own and will require surgical intervention. Now, we also want to just quickly mention, you see a lot of home remedies for crop stuff.
Lots.
And every now and again, they'll work. But we're here to tell you, do not put that stress on yourself. Get your chicken to a vet when it's a crop issue.
It's the easiest, the most cost-effective way to treat them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to play with a bunch of different stuff that is made for humans, that isn't tested on chickens, and it's not going to work the best that it can when you can just go to the vets and get the medicine you need.
Right.
And the first thing is they're always going to culture the crop and make sure they know and do what's called a cytology and look at it under the microscope to see if it's yeast, bacteria, or both and what they need to treat that with along with the impaction.
And it's really quick and easy. You know, the vet's just going to swab the inside of the crop.
Now, sometimes they can feel the fact that it's hard. It's like a softball. It's not moving. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to do the surgery. Or sometimes they'll say to you, let's give it a day and see if we can move this with an antibiotic, with a nystatin, and do an x-ray and look to see if there's something big in there that's blocking it. Now, the number one thing, if you use straw, it can impact the crop.
Mm-hmm.
So know this. Just know it, because if you have a straw eater, which both Holly and I do, then you'll know, you'll find out that that's what can impact the crop very easily.
And we worked on a Claire's crop for a couple weeks, seriously, and the straw was soft.
Yeah.
But it still wouldn't move.
So it takes something like, I don't know, what, 100 years to break straw
down? It's like 100 years, yeah.
To break straw down. So, you know, if it forms a ball in there and it get blocks something, then that's the impaction. If I don't ever give any more cucumber peels, because that can cause an impaction.
Right, like whole long apple peels.
Right.
Really fibrous grass. I mean, the absolute best treatment for a crop impaction is prevention.
Right. So you know what not to give
right.
to have that. But you could have a chicken that just eats a lot of garbage and fibrous stuff that's in the run or fibrous stuff that's out in the grass, and they get it.
Chickens find a way to wreck the best laid plans.
Totally.
Often.
Okay. So once you go to the vet and then your vet tells you this is an impaction, what we're going to do is go through the muscle layers, all the skin layers, and cut and empty the crop,
mm-hmm.
flush it all out, and then suture everything back up. This is something that you should never, ever, 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 can I say ever again, try on your own. Veterinarians have been trained in surgery, have been trained in it's a sterile environment.
Right.
They're in an OR. There's not extra bacteria. And the chicken's under an anesthetic, so they're not feeling being cut.
They also have a crash cart if your chicken doesn't do well under the anesthesia.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is something that only a vet should ever do. So they can clear it all out for you, flush the crop, and then suture it back up.
Right.
And it's usually a one-day stay in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then they come home.
Right.
And this is where we want to talk to you because
right.
it's not over.
No. And we've tried this many different ways and forms, but what we have found is there's a set of best practices for recovery care for a chicken that's had crop surgery.
We've talked a lot of people through it.
And most recently me, because a couple of months ago, my Blanche Dubois had a crop that wouldn't move. We do think it started with a bacterial infection because we think Miss Blanche was sneaking into the coop. I'll say the Andalusians have a really bad habit. They're egg eaters.
Yeah. And then she was eating the shavings.
She was finding shavings that had gotten egg on them and eating them. So she ended up with a proper bacterial infection.
And an impaction, basically.
Yeah. It just wouldn't move. It wouldn't move. So we brought her home. With the straw eaters, we knew we had to keep them off of anything.
Right.
So they went into puppy playpens with white towels.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to eat shavings. They were trying to eat all kinds of stuff.
And I think this should be standard practice for every crop surgery, they should come home, go in the crate with white tails.
And that was reinforced because we put Blanche on shavings. And guess what she did?
Yeah.
She started the e-shavings.
Yeah. So I think white tails in a pop-up for at least the first week.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because what's so important is you need to make sure that the crop is actually working.
Yes.
And that they are pooping.
Right.
And sometimes if you have them on a lot of extra substrate, you can't see what the poop looks like. So you're going to be doing a little bit more laundry, but it's well worth it.
We just went to Walmart.
Oh, yeah. That's what we
and
did.
And we bought just like towels that were $2 a piece.
Yeah.
And we keep them going. You know, you get some soiled, you wash them every couple of days. You just keep it going like an assembly line. Yeah. I mean, it's some extra money for towels, but it's not crazy expensive.
No, I think I went out and bought 6 towels.
Yeah.
And rotated them yep. as needed. And then as things got more normal, then you can kind of put, you know, substrate in or the pine shavings in for them. So the second thing is when your chicken comes home, every chicken from a crop surgery should have a crop bra.
Oh, amen to that.
So we're going to talk about in retail therapy how to get them, but you can also make them. Mm-hmm. And we have a video up on our YouTube channel that shows you how to make one out of vet wrap that if you need it in a pinch. And the crop bra takes the crop and holds it in place where it needs to be.
It literally sits like a bra. It should be sitting under
like a
the
shelf.
Crop, like a shelf. Right, yeah. Exactly. And it supports the crop. It keeps the chicken from pecking at the stitches.
The sutures.
Which is really important. And it just supports them with their digestion.
So what happens is you have to cut through layers of skin. You have to cut through layers of muscle. And that hurts. So when that happens, they are sore and the crop bra keeps it more in place and keeps it stable so it's not moving around and creating pain mm-hmm. for them. So the crop bra is number one. If your vet doesn't give you one, always, like we say in your first aid kit, have vet wrap, watch the video, or message us, we can help you, and have that ready. The third thing is they should not be on solid food for at least the first week or two.
Well, again, you know, I let Blanche have it and it was a mistake. She got glommed up to the point where I was afraid we were going to have to take her back to Dr. Rebecca.
Yeah.
But 2 days on liquid food got things moving again.
So when you have the surgery done, your vet can supply you with something called Emerade if they have it. If not, Chewy's does have what's called Oxbow.
Oxbow Critical Care, right.
Yes. And that used to be prescription. Now
it's
not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a chicken formula. so that you can feed every 4 hours, every 3 hours, the critical care liquid food, and give that crop time to heal.
And there are a couple ways you can feed this. You can tube feed it. Know what you're doing.
Right. You do tube feeding. I tube feed. I do syringe feeding. Mm-hmm. So if you have two people, tube feeding's easier.
Absolutely.
If it's just me, I just syringe it in slowly. Mm-hmm. And it has a good taste. They seem to really like it.
They do seem to like it. And when you say syringe feeding, you don't mean putting the syringe in the crop. You mean squirting a bit at a time into the beak and letting them swallow.
Yes, exactly.
That's the best way. You can dribble it next to their beak, but you don't get tons in. And they'll shake their head and waste
it. I just hold them, open their beak, and put a little bit in at a time. Mm-hmm. And I don't seem to have a lot of waste.
No, right.
But they love it. And it's every nutrient they need. And it doesn't put extra weight of whole food in that crop.
Right.
And put extra pressure on it for the first few, week or two while it heals.
Yes.
It's going to be a little bit more intense nursing care, but believe me, it's worth it.
It is worth it. If you put all the time in to get this chicken to the vet, have your vet flush the crop, get it cleaned out, and you've got a clean slate, trust us on this one. Go with the recovery system that we have put together.
Right. And also get pain medicine from your veterinarian.
Yeah.
Because that will help. I mean, cutting through layers of muscle, it takes time to heal.
Sure.
So getting that pain medicine will definitely help make them feel more comfortable. No grit, no oyster shell, nothing for the first 2 weeks, but a liquid food. Your vet can supply you with what's called Emerade.
It's Emerade Omnivore Care.
Omnivore Care.
Mm-hmm. And there's a chicken on the front of the bag.
Yes. And that is the gold star of powder to liquid food. We've talked about this in a previous episode. If not, there's Oxbow.
Your critical care, right.
Through Chewies. Mm-hmm. So liquid food, no substrate, and a crop raw.
Yeah.
And your life may be a little bit about nursing a chicken for the next week or so.
It will be.
But believe me, it's way more worth it than putting them right back out in the run and all of a sudden it's re-blocked. And that happened to Gertie.
Oh, yeah. Claire, too.
Right.
So I thought that's where we were going with Blanche, but we averted it.
Yeah. I mean, the first vet that I worked with gave me no instructions when we left. You were with me when I picked her up.
Yeah, I was.
Within a day or two, the crop was already not functioning.
I mean, and to be fair, Dr. Rebecca has formulated some of her aftercare based on what we all went through with these chickens.
Right. So it's kind of a trial and error that we've been through. Mm-hmm. We know it works. We've talked a lot of people through this and it works for them.
Yeah.
And we feel like we want to just come out here and do a main topic on it so that it's out there.
Right.
The questions are answered. This is something that we have used ourselves. It's tried and true. It works.
This will be written up as an article on the website as well.
Right.
So you can find it if you're just Googling, chicken crop surgery, recovery, something like that.
Right. And the thing is, when we talk in retail therapy about where to get the crop raw, honestly, this is something that should be in your first aid kit. I would order one and just have it.
Yep, exactly. It's going to cost you probably $30 with shipping.
Right, but it's worth it.
They're well worth it. The ones we really like are top of the line. But again, in a pinch, you can use that vet wrap crop raw. It works.
It's on our YouTube channel. We made a video showing how to make it. And
that's the most manicured you're ever going to see my hands.
It's very simple and it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what did we do before vet wrap?
I don't know.
It's like one of the modern medical miracles.
It is. It is. And you can get it everywhere now. Regular stores have it.
In beautiful colors.
Everybody has it. Amazon is amazing for it.
Oh, yeah. You can get it at the Walmart.
Yeah. All different sizes. Everything else.
So, well, you can get it at my Walmart.
Those 2-inch. No. The 1-inch?
Yeah.
No. What are the small ones?
They're 1-inch.
They would be perfect for the straps.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that you wouldn't even have to cut.
Right. Right. It's true.
So, yeah, it's a good thing. Now, if you ever have any problems with crop issues and you need some help. And
we are your ladies.
We're your ladies. Message us either on Instagram and Facebook or email us your questions and we will be happy to help you.
Who was our wonderful listener? I remember her chicken's name was Posey. And yes. They went through, was it Sarah?
I think so.
And they went through surgery and I think she even took Posey on vacation with her.
Yes. And she went the liquid food diet way and it worked for her. It works.
It does work. And it's work, but it works.
This is our aftercare that mm-hmm. we have come up with because we feel like this is what really works.
It'll save you some heartache if you can do this.
And also make sure that you're coming home with the proper medications that you need. If the crop is soured, make sure that they do a cytology and tell you if it's bacteria or yeast, and you come home with either an antibiotic or a nystatin.
Or both.
Or both.
I'm getting on the soapbox for a second here because we're going to revisit talking about people doing their own surgery for crops.
Oh, God.
I get it, but it's not true that chickens don't feel pain. Chickens feel pain just the same as you and I do.
Chickens feel a lot of pain. And the one thing that I ever hate seeing that almost makes me in tears and cry is hearing that someone would cut a chicken, cut their crop open without anesthetic, and that chicken was awake for that.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that should only be done by a doctor, a professional, in a sterile OR. And you know what? There's stuff out there where people will try to tell you how to do it. Save yourself. It's not that expensive, believe us, to go to the doctors and have it done.
Just, I get it. They want to save a chicken, but with no anesthesia, no pain meds, no, just.
It's horrible. And believe us, we've found people out there that have done it. So please do not. It's just something that someone who's trained for 8 years.
Would you cut your kid? Would you cut your dog?
Yeah. So they feel it. They know it. And they need to be in a sterile OR, first of all, because you're going to add more bacteria in if you're in any other place.
Right.
So just save yourself. Go to the doctors. If it's impacted, they can fix it for you.
Exactly. Now, we're going to give you two little tips before we go. The first is that we did an episode all about sauerkraut. That if you are new to all this and you want to find out more about it,
go Crops 101.
Episode 95, actually.
Okay.
We did sauerkraut and the Buff Orpington.
Yeah.
That's a good episode. And the second thing we want to say is, again, prevention is your best friend. And we're going to give you one of our little tips. If we feel like we've had chickens running around, maybe eating some junk, maybe getting some junky stuff into their crop, we put Strong Animals Chicken Essentials Chicken Elixir in the water for about a week or so.
Right.
It's perfectly safe. It has a lot of natural antibiotic action with some oregano oil in it.
Yep.
Don't just use oregano oil in their water. That will burn them.
Right. So the Strong Animal Chicken Essentials takes the guesswork out of all of it. They have scientifically tested it. It's the proper amount.
And essential oils are emulsified into the system. Right. So it's not going to burn your chicken.
You're going to buy this and put a capful in a gallon of water and pour it. That's it. And it's so easy.
If there's some junk in there, it might help prevent a bacterial colony from forming in there.
Yeah. Or just cut down on something. You know, it can't hurt.
Nope.
But this is where science and nature come together.
That's right.
This company's paid lots of money to have this scientifically researched, and it works. So it's Strong Animal Chicken Essentials Chicken Elixir.
And yeah, they sponsor us, but we swear by their products.
We use all their products. They're amazing.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about them, just give us a message. We have no problem whatsoever. Any question that you have, just message us on Instagram or Facebook, a messenger, or email us. We're here always to help you guys. 100%. We always have time for our listeners. Okay. So we're ready to move on to
cracking the eggs.
Cracking those eggs. Now, we're keeping it dessert because...
Because we like dessert?
We have a sweet tooth.
Maybe.
And it's summer.
Well,
and what's better than easy summer desserts?
There is nothing better than when the peaches are ripe in Maryland. They're so good.
They're so good.
So good. And so we're doing a little bit of, you know, just in case you haven't figured it out, we like the vintage stuff. We like a little old-fashioned. So we're going with old-fashioned peach custard pie. And my God,
so good.
It is so good.
It's amazing.
Now, I didn't bother to do a pie crust recipe.
You know what?
Just use your favorite pie crust recipe.
Or go to the store and buy it and have it in the fridge.
Unless it's gluten-free.
If you have to make your own because you're gluten-free, I feel bad for you. But if not, just buy the pre-made.
I don't even know what to say to that. I feel bad for it. Like, I'm crying tears for you gluten-free people, but you're on your own.
I love you all, though.
If I remember, I will try to link to my own favorite gluten-free pie recipe. So have your pie ready in a deep dish pie plate. You know, get it in there, get it crimped, all those things, and then put it in the fridge.
Okay, so let's go over some ingredients here. You're going to need 3 tablespoons of firmly packed light brown sugar. pack that stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
5 tablespoons of flour or gluten-free flour, 1-to-1. 5 medium peaches, peeled, pitted, and sliced.
Ripe peaches.
And I like white peaches myself.
That's because they're sweeter.
Yeah.
That's why you like them.
I know.
I like me a classic, you know, peach-colored peach, sweet and juicy.
Ella, we got white peaches the other day, and Ella was like, I don't like these. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding
me? She doesn't like sweet as much.
No, she wants a regular peach.
Mm-hmm. I like that girl.
So you're going to need 1 12-ounce can of evaporated milk or dairy-free evaporated milk. And you can buy this in the can or make it on your own.
I recommend you do it with oat milk because it really thickens up nicely.
Okay. So, and we have the instructions on how to do that. We'll have that on the recipe. Mm-hmm. 1 large egg. You're not using a lot of your eggs for this recipe. Slightly beaten.
Put a dent in your egg pile with this.
No. 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. 2/3 of a cup of sugar. I would bump that up a little bit.
Oh, we know.
Okay, so you're going to need 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly grated nutmeg, and 1/8 teaspoon of ground cardamom.
I love the smell of cardamom.
It's so good. Now, Holly Ann's going to tell us where we go next.
So you're going to combine the brown sugar and 3 tablespoons of that flour in a small bowl. You're going to sprinkle that mixture evenly over the bottom of the unbaked pie crust, and you're going to put the peach slices on top.
Yep.
Just layer those in there. So you want a medium mixing bowl. You're going to mix together the evaporated milk, the egg, the vanilla. You're going to carefully pour that over the peach slices.
Yes.
In a small bowl, you're going to combine the remaining 2 tablespoons of flour with the sugar and the spices and sprinkle that evenly over the top of the pie. I do an old-fashioned thing to protect. A lot of people do this the opposite way.
Are you talking about the foil around?
When I put it in.
Yeah.
And then I take it off for the last 10.
That's what I do.
But like I read all the time now, put it on at the end. No, no, no.
What?
It's backwards. Yeah, I see that all the time.
What if you burn, then you can't turn around and change it?
That's right. So
I don't know.
Put some foil around your crust when you put the pie in.
And then take it out
off for the last 10 or 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to bake this about 425 degrees, maybe 45 to 50 minutes. I always put these on a baking sheet with aluminum foil underneath.
Because it's going to drip down.
Because it's going to drip all that amazing peach juice.
And make a mess in your oven.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you're looking at about 45 to 50 minutes, and you need to let this cool completely before you try to eat it.
And then you can serve it with some of that vanilla custard from last week.
You could serve it with the custard.
Or some ice cream, vanilla ice cream.
I'd like a little a la mode myself.
Yeah, or some whipped cream on it, and you have, it's not hard at all. It's just putting them in the pie crust and baking it. And you have a great summer recipe to take to a party, and all your friends are going to think that you're the best baker in the world.
Who doesn't want peach pie?
I want a ton of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so try it. You might like it. Let us know what you think. Okay, so let's move on to retail therapy. Retail therapy. Yeah. This week's retail therapy, we kind of preempted what we're going to be talking about, but we're talking about crop bras.
Crop bras.
And we want to tell you where to get them.
Our absolute favorite, the ones that we will not do without anymore, are called the Birdie Bra.
The Birdie Bra.
And that's from Crazy K Farms, linked in the show notes.
Yes. And I think you can find them on Etsy.
She used to have them on Etsy, and you can buy them on the website, but I will put all possible links in the show notes so you can find them.
And she has different sizes, which is amazing, mm-hmm. like a bantam size, yeah. a small, a medium, a large, and an extra large for all the different
Guess what size we use?
Medium.
Extra large.
Oh, is that the one we get?
I don't know, actually. I'm joking because I was thinking about the Brahmas. I don't know. I don't know, actually.
So we have several of them. We swear by them.
I think we just get
them.
A large.
Yeah, we swear by them because we have used them and they work amazingly and they're comfortable. They're made of very soft material.
The multi-layers. They provide great support. They are, like you said, they're very soft. The straps are made out of something that's very similar to Ace Bandage.
Right.
So it's really gentle on them and it's easy to tie and untie.
Now, as you use it for so long, like I did, they will kind of unravel, but they make the straps long.
The edges will unravel.
And if you trim them, there's no problem. There's mm-hmm. a ton of strap. Okay.
Oh, there's a ton of strap. There really is.
The other thing is you can try other places like Amazon. We've tried those. They do not work.
They didn't give any support. I mean, again, the crop bra should be sitting right under that food boob.
Yes.
Like a shelf. It should be holding that baby up there. It's like a crop push-up bra.
We have them. They look all good and everything, mm-hmm. but they didn't work.
Yeah, bows and whatnot. Nope, didn't work.
Did not work. So the other thing is, like we told you before, you can buy Coflex, VetWrap, whatever it's named on Amazon. You mm-hmm. can buy it at every store that's known to man now. You can make your own. And that is not to use long term, because what happens with the VetWrap is it sits right on the skin.
It can chafe.
And mm-hmm. it will chafe the skin. So that's why the Birdie bras are so amazing, because mm-hmm. that material she uses for the straps is so soft on
right.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And the VetWrap, you can use it for a day or two, but then you have to make another one because it loses
right.
its
elasticity
firmness.
And yeah. everything. Yeah. So you can, if you're lucky, you'll squeeze 3 days out of it. So it needs, like you said, you need to make more of them, but they will right. get you through in a pinch. They
right.
will.
So a lot of times these are a little bit more expensive. So your vet is not going to have them for you. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you're going to have to supply yourself. But we always say a crop bra should be part of your first aid kit, because the crop is such an essential part of the chicken. There's a lot of problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
And after so long, you're going to come across a crop problem.
Eventually.
Yes.
Eventually. But having these things on hand can really help, and we'll help you get through it if you need us to.
Right. And just like the powder to liquid food, that should be part of your first aid kit. You should have that already so that when you need it, it's there and you're not waiting for it to get shipped.
We're not trying to make this expensive for you. We're not trying to make it complicated. We're just trying to get you prepared so that when disaster hits, you aren't like having a complete freak out because you don't have what you need and you can't get it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's worth it to spend a little bit of money in the beginning and have the stuff.
Yeah.
For peace of mind. And like the powder to liquid food lasts a very long time in
it
the
does.
Fridge.
Mm-hmm.
You just pop it in the fridge. It's in there. It stays good. You make it up like a tablespoon at a time for them. And you should always have it.
Right.
It's actually not too expensive either.
It's not crazy expensive given the value that it is. I mean, chicken ladies are here to keep it real for you. And you really might need this stuff.
Yeah. So the crop bra is what we wanted to talk about today for retail therapy, because we think you need it.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you don't.
Hope you don't.
But it's nice to have.
I always say, like, if me spending money on supplies is what it takes for a disaster to not happen.
Oh, I'll do it.
I'll do it all day long.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so on that note, should we tell everybody what we're going to be talking about next week?
Next week, we are profiling, ooh, this is a new chicken. Well, no, this is one of the world's oldest chickens, but it's fairly new in the U.S. So we are profiling the Gallois Doré.
And you can get them someplace now.
It's a French bird.
It's great.
Main topic. We had a ton of questions about this.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about the difference between heritage breed and hybrid chickens. Why you might want one or the other.
Right.
Cracking the eggs. Classic Niçoise salad.
Yay.
Retail therapy. We're reviewing a product that was sent to us. This is an all-natural poultry spray called Primo Guard.
And we're going to talk all about it.
And we'll give you our review.
Okay, so what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day, and kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening.